The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Don't forget, coming up at 9 a.m., Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of your Washington Nationals, will join us. Right now on the BetQL guest hotline, we're joined by Will Brinson, NFL writer for CBSSports.com. Good morning, Will. How are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Will,
what's up, man? Hey, before we talk about your Carolina Panthers and their sudden resurgence, why don't you heap some more praise on our star quarterback here, Jaden Daniels, who led the Commanders to a surprising upset of the Bengals on Monday Night Football. What did you think there?
I mean, what a performance. I mean, like the stats are insane, right? He completed like 90% of his passes. The third and seventh throw, I think I've watched. I've texted my buddy Greg Rosenthal, who writes he does a podcast for NFL.com, and I've texted about it. And just like, you know, that Anthony Richardson throw in week one, where it's, you know, he's like falling down, through like 60 yards in the air, he's like on a dime. You're like, I mean, who's going to be that throw? It's like week three. Okay, Jaden Daniels, do it on Monday Night Football to close out the Bengals. Huh. And like with a guy, I mean, the guy just in his face, you go back and watch it, it's just wild. And I mean, I think you're starting to hear a little bit of, and there's some of this before the draft. And Pete Prisco, I mean, I hate giving him credit, but to his credit, he said the Bears should take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams, and he's like, they won't, but yeah, they should. And, and you're starting to hear like a little drumbeat of that right now, where it's like, interesting. Like maybe that could have been the move. That throw is something that you just can't even. And he had tons of great throws, right? And just electric with his legs. I really, really hope that Cliff Kingsbury uses him more offensively like he did on Monday night than the first two games, where it was sort of that horizontal air raid and, you know, kind of a, you know, be aggressive. You know, be aggressive with him and let him be aggressive. And I think you'll see some incredible results from the Commanders.
Yeah, I don't think there's any going back.
And they
now
got to score. They probably got to score about 27-30 a game because their defense has given up about that.
Yeah, but by the way, also just on a personal note, like screw the Bengals. I wanted to use the Jets, and I'm in a survivor group with like several dudes. Well, we were in a survivor group. The Bengals knocked us out twice. We had like eight entries. I wanted to use the Jets, and I mean like. The Bengals' defense is really, really bad, too, it looks like. So I think that's something that hadn't been the case for the past couple of years regularity. So just worth noting. I'm not taking anything away from Jaden Daniels, but I think it's possible people just light up the Bengals, like the Panthers.
Well, it's funny that the Panthers host the Bengals. And with the Panthers, segue. Panthers got a new quarterback. What are fans saying about Bryce? Are they saying, all right, just let him sit behind Dalton for, I don't know, maybe the rest of the year, he'll be better in year three, or trade him if you can?
Mixed. It's sort of mixed. I mean, like, I had this discussion on a text thread with like my friends locally, where some people were like, just make the business decision and trade him. I think the problem is, you know, your like absolute best case. And I know Jay Glazer reported four teams had made offers to the Panthers. I think your absolute best case would be a third round pick right now. And it would be pretty surprising if anybody offered that for him the way that he played. Yeah. And then seeing the way that Andy Dalton, it's hard to like put into context how well, I mean, Andy Dalton was the first quarterback in the NFL this season to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in the game.
Right.
And he does it immediately after Bryce Young has benched 18 games into his career. I went back and like sort of deep dive the film or the offensive film for the Panthers, and there's a lot of stuff where Andy Dalton, so like they're backed up on second down at their like basically at the goal line, and they go empty formation, and five guys out wide, nobody in the backfield to help protect Andy Dalton. He makes an easy throw over the top of a defender coming in. The Raiders are bringing five. It looked like they might even bring six, and one guy dropped back out of pressure. Deontay Johnson takes it. They get two blockers, 10 yards, easy first down. It's like if Bryce, you watch that play, and you just know that if it was Bryce Young, he would have panicked and held the ball and taken a sack and a safety. Yeah. And I don't think the Panthers coaching staff would have been comfortable calling that play for Bryce Young. Andy Dalton made some incredible throws too. Like his touchdown pass to Adam Thielen, and Thielen got hurt on it, which sucks. Yeah. But the ball is out of his hands, and there's like all his receivers are on the 20-yard line. It's just a dime in the end zone. So I think part of it is like Bryce Young's confidence is just shot. I think the coaching staff neuters the playbook a bit when they have Bryce Young in there. And, you roll with Andy Dalton, you try to win some games, take some pressure out of the balloon because things are getting really, really like David Tepper's firing somebody, if he has to hire somebody else to fire them just to fire somebody, he was going to fire them. And so I think for now you hold on to Bryce Young just because the rookie contract thing makes it so weird to deal in.
Yeah. Hey, Will, let's shift over to the AFC South. I think a lot of people before the season started thought this would be a competitive division. They thought the Jaguars would be battling with the Texans and the Colts for the top of that division. But wow, we saw the Jags just lay a monster egg against the Bills to fall to 0-3 in the first of two Monday Night Football games. The Titans are there, winless with them at the bottom of that division. And it looks like Anthony Richardson is regressing as a passer. I mean, it looks like the Texans division to win there. I thought it would be more competitive than it is so far.
Yeah, I think I've definitely done – maybe with you guys, I've definitely done radio in the preseason this year where it's like – you know, this AFC South could really be an interesting quarterback battle to watch. And it's like, no, they all stink. It's like CJ Stroud. The Jaguars, I think, are really interesting to watch because of Bill Belichick. You know, the Cowboys are sort of like penciled in as Belichick or the Cowboys, which I get because Parcells is there and it's the Cowboys and, you know, they have Dak and they have CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons, but I mean, Jerry Jones is one of the top five most meddlesome owners in football. Why would Belichick want to go to the Cowboys? Shad Khan, now this is predicated on the idea that Trent Baalke, the GM, who is kind of a weasel, right? I mean, like you look at what happened in San Francisco.
Oh, they hated him. Yeah.
Oh my God! And he basically Game of Thrones on Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh hated him. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, like the reason why he drafted Trayvon Walker first overall instead of Aiden Hutchinson is because Aiden Hutchinson played for Harbaugh at Michigan, which is like insane. Yep. But I think the Jaguars would be real live for Belichick if Shad Khan, because Shad Khan's not meddlesome at all. He was reportedly like as mad as he's ever been after that loss. They look like Press Taylor in this offense. Saw him with same sort of deal with the Eagles. Like, why are we just going to do this for an entire year? Doug Peterson's press conferences he sounds kind of checked out. Trevor Lawrence just looks awful, and you have all these weapons, and the offense just can't get going. It's a problem in Jacksonville, Tennessee. You know. Levis, I think, is probably better than the memes.
Yeah.
I think he does more stuff on tape than
he does on the field. I mean, yeah.
the memes are amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, they're like him, like the surrender cobra, and he's gonna do the Brian Tannehill dolphin at some point. Richardson is really confusing just how bad he's been as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like I think there's probably a little bit of Jim Irsay telling the coaching staff don't design as many runs, and he's not scrambling much at all. Like his scramble percentage is lower than a lot of legit pocket quarterbacks, and so I think the lack of the running game component from his game is causing him like they're leaning on him as a passer, and it's just not there yet, and it's just a problem for that offense.
Well, Josh Allen is there, and the rest of the league may have a problem with him this year because he's got 7 passing touchdowns against 0 picks. He's only been sacked twice. He's got a quarterback rating through 3 games of 133.7. There was a lot of pearl clutching about, you know, Stephon Diggs isn't there anymore. Gabe Davis goes to Jacksonville. How are they going to make it work with this new cast of receivers? I think it's working pretty well in Buffalo so far because we saw them throttling the Jags on national
TV. And by the way, what a big game on Sunday night.
Buffalo, Baltimore.
Bills, Ravens.
Yep, yeah. It's a big one. Yep.
Huge game. Yeah, 3 weeks in, nothing like a victory lap for your Super Bowl pick and MVP pick, but I had the Bills and Josh Allen.
Look at you. That's pretty good. It's a good double dip there.
Right. I mean, the Allen MVP thing, I feel better about than the Bills winning the Super Bowl because, one, I think, you know, the 50 voters who do the MVP voting want to vote for Josh Allen. And there's a lot of, like, 2022 Chiefs vibes where, you know, they trade Tyreek Hill and everybody expects a complete regression. It's like, how can the Chiefs win without Tyreek Hill? It's like, oh, all right, Patrick Mahomes. You know, Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir, you know, Curtis Samuel with Joe Brady. You know, I think we're seeing in action, you know, and Keon Coleman hadn't really even gotten going yet. I mean, I think we're seeing in action how this sort of, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound as good as it looks when you see the Bills executed. And I think they've got, like James Cook is playing some awesome football. It's the best offensive line maybe Josh Allen's had. Joe Brady is you know, it's not like the most, you know, again, they're running the ball, and I think it fits with what Sean McDermott wants in terms of this offense. So like the Bills to me are in a really good spot if Josh Allen stays healthy for him to win MVP. The issue for them winning the Super Bowl is they're probably just going to have to play the Chiefs in the playoffs, and it's, you know, small sample size, 13 seconds, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like they could be the best team in football, and you just got to play Patrick Mahomes on a Sunday in January, and he's going to do what the same thing he's done and the same thing Tom Brady did for like 10 years, which is just ruin the NFL for everyone else.
There are certainly some must-win situations, even though we're only in week 4. You know, Dallas playing tomorrow night in New York at 1-2. They lose that, they're 1-3. Must win. Not going to be easy, especially the way they're playing defense. 49ers, now, they're in trouble just in terms of how many guys they have out. Now, they're lucky they get the Patriots this week at home. But, you know, they lose that game, they're 1-3. Ravens, we just talked about, they lose to the Bills, they're 1-3. You know, the Dolphins, now they get the Titans, they're in a tough spot because of their quarterback situation, but they lose them, they're 1-3. I mean, there's some, even though we're in the first month, there are kind of some must-win situations for a lot of these teams.
I mean, I think Dallas is the one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Quinn, I love Dan Quinn. I think he's a great coach. We had him, when he first got hired by the Falcons way back in the day, we had him on our CBS video show talking about who would win like in a cage match of all the coaches. He's like, me, obviously. I think he's up there. But more importantly, you know, you look at this Cowboys defense, and I think people forget before Dan Quinn got there in Dallas, like Mike Nolan, I mean, Mike McCarthy was on a hot seat from Jump Street in Dallas because Mike Nolan's defense was so bad. And then Dan Quinn gets there. The defense is great. They win 12 games, 3 straight years, 4 straight years, whatever it was. And it's sort of like, all right, they're fine. I mean, Mike Zimmer is a great defensive coach, but this defense is not good. And it is getting run over. I mean, the Saints and the Ravens offensive line was terrible the first two weeks of the year. And then you have the Saints, who we didn't think had a great offensive line. And Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry ran wild on the Cowboys. And, you know, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, it's not clicking right now. The offense doesn't look good. If they lay an egg in prime time to the Giants and fall to 1-3,
yeah,
it is going to be a pressure cooker in Dallas, as if it isn't all the time already anyway.
Will, thanks as always for the time, man. We got to run. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, guys. Talk to you soon.
Cheers. All right.
That's
thanks,
Will
buddy.
Brinson, NFL writer for CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson. Don't forget, Mike Rizzo will join us coming up at 9 a.m. We'll do EB's entertainment page next.